You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Joining us live from the Minneapolis airport is Jason Beck on his way from Anaheim to Detroit. Beck, how's Minneapolis looking this time of year?
It's looking magical given the Twins' success. It's there's something in the air here. I can't describe it in too much detail, but you just get the sense that something's happening here, other than planes landing and taking off.
There's something in the air, but not you yet. Hopefully, it's not too long of a layover. But on your way back to Detroit, where the Tigers will face the A's again this week, just as they did last week. Obviously, things are not going particularly well for the Tigers in the win-loss department here lately. We spoke a bit last week about kind of the inconsistency of the starting pitching, and that's continued to play out. So there's so many eyes on Justin Verlander's status as he works his way back and had the outing on Sunday in Toledo. And I know his command was not quite where he wanted it to be, if they wanted it to be. What's the next step for Justin Verlander?
Well, they were going to talk that over on Tuesday and try to figure out whether it would benefit him to get one more rehab start or whether you might as well just throw him out there now. It's complicated a little bit given the fact that the guy who is filling in for him, Kyle Lobstein, is down with shoulder inflammation. So you're really looking at the fill-in for the fill-in, unless the guy you're originally filling in for is ready. But I think right now the main focus is on Verlander and making sure he's completely healthy, and making sure he doesn't do anything crazy to aggravate the triceps injury once again. So it wouldn't surprise me if they had him go out and do one more, if for no other reason than to maybe get him sitting down and getting back up a few more times to get him used to that. But that starting and stopping that a starter knows over the course of, six or seven innings, as opposed to the 2 2/3 that he did this time in for Toledo.
Yeah. Like, what do you make of Shane Green? Obviously had a particularly rough night in Anaheim, getting up the 5 home runs to the Angels. But overall, I mean, his last 8 starts, he's got an ERA north of 8. I know that's inflated by, there's 3, maybe 4 outlandish outings within that. But still, it's not the same kind of outcomes we saw from him early in the year. What do you make of those struggles?
I think he's having problems, getting the ball down. I think he's leaving some pitches up. And I don't know if that's a mechanical thing or if it's something where maybe there's just an adrenaline level or pressure that he's feeling that he wasn't feeling before. And I also think that, with a lot of sinker ballers, and we saw this with Rick Porcello as he was developing, that at some point you've got to be able to keep guys off balance. And I think James McCann talked about that in detail and pretty pointedly after the 5 homer outing. We didn't make the hitters uncomfortable. We didn't, and he took as much blame as Green, if not more so. But they didn't go in and out. They didn't mix up pitches in a way to get guys off of that sinker where you could get away with mistakes. You're not always going to pound the strike zone at the knees, but you've got to be able to get away with those pitches that you leave up if they're looking for something else, or if they have to at least be wary of some other type of pitch. And the Angels, at least in recent years, have been a pretty good team at making pitchers pay for that. As you remember, they hounded Porcello when he was a Tiger. Now, granted, he didn't get much help from his defense. He didn't have this type of defense behind him. But they had a penchant for putting the ball out of the yard against him.
And, yeah, the Angels, of course, have one of the great low ball hitters of our time in Mike Trout. Yeah, Alfredo Simon has really, you know, he doesn't have the dominant stuff of a David Price. And, you know, Price has had some incredible outings for this club here this year. But Simon's probably been their most stable starter for the Tigers at 2.67 ERA and 9 starts. Just from a consistency standpoint, he's been such a rock for them.
They missed him over this last road trip. He had to leave at the last minute to be with his father, who passed away over the weekend. It's funny, though, that the way this season has gone, even with David Price, and you know, Price putting up some pretty good stats, you know, the consistency has come from guys you would have never expected. You know, Simon's one, Lobstein until his final outing or two, and then shoulder inflammation was another. You know, in some ways, they've weathered the storm pitching-wise better than a lot of us expect. I think there's a lot of question about this rotation and what it would look like without Max Scherzer, without Rick Porcello in it. They've actually fared fairly decently, even with some of the ups and downs. They could use a little bit more consistency, obviously. You don't want a ton of homer outings popping up more than once every 10 years or so. But they really need to get the offense to support these guys. But it was funny to watch them win a series in Oakland, scoring 4 runs in 3 games. They won 2 out of 3 games that way.
Well, you know, the offense, has not survived its losses as well as the rotation has, I guess, on measure. But Victor Martinez is rejoining the club, not rejoining the roster, but rejoining the club on Tuesday. He'll be back continuing his rehab with them. Any update as far as the timetable goes there? I know he's feeling better. It sounds like he hasn't been swinging the bat very much, though.
So far as I know, he hasn't swung the bat at all. You know, when they sent him down to Florida to work out at home with physical therapists, you know, one of the reasons they did that was to keep him away from the ballpark and kind of ward off that temptation to pick up a bat and start swinging it again. That temptation's obviously going to be there now that he's back in Detroit. They can keep an eye on him better. But from the sounds of it, he's had some good days of workouts to the point where they believe that he's ready to make that progression and start swinging the bat and see if they can work on that swing from both sides and get everything shored up, start to make some of the adjustments and tweaks that they weren't able to do while the knee was as weak as it was. And I'm not convinced that it's necessarily anywhere near full strength, but if it's at a workable, manageable strength, I think that's what they're looking for right now. If you can get that base under him, then you can start working on some of the things that have hampered him, some of the bad habits that they believe he's developed, and try to get that left-handed swing back to a point where he can be at least semi-productive with it, if not as productive as he was last year.
Well, they certainly need him back, and hopefully back to the level he was at last year, if he can get to that from a health standpoint, first of all, and then the swing to follow. But, yeah, it's just amazing back to how frustrating this offense has been. It's been one of the bigger surprises, I'd say, of the last month plus. It's just the Tigers' general inconsistency offensively and sometimes outright rut offensively. Ian Kinsler has really contributed to that in recent days. He's his last 12 games, he's batting .111. He did have his first home run of the season within that, but as far as igniting this offense near the top of the order, he hasn't been that guy the last couple of weeks. That's been a big factor for them.
Yeah, and talk with Kinsler on Sunday night after that loss. He expressed a level of frustration. He's not happy with the way he's been swinging it, and he understands the frustration with the way the team's been swinging. It was a good chance to be able to talk with him, and he's kind of, he doesn't pull punches about what's going on, and he was saying that besides his own frustrations over his own performance, I think there's a general team frustration at this point. And from what he was discussing, the double plays and some of the other hard hit balls that they've had that have gone for outs, especially in Anaheim, you know, kind of sucked the wind out of them. And you think it kind of made this offense a little bit lifeless. And Miguel Cabrera, Cabrera actually said that he feels like that there are guys putting a lot of pressure on themselves to produce with Victor Martinez out, and that it's actually hampering them. And then these are guys who, it's a veteran-laden lineup, and even they're having a hard time, you know, avoiding that feeling of trying to do more than they should. And that's something I wouldn't have expected to hear from these guys. And I think Cabrera's guys as good of a read of the team on this team as anybody in that clubhouse. And he senses it. I think he senses it. You know, sometimes he does it himself, and he thinks they need to kind of level that off a little bit, or they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, we said it going into the year. This is probably the most vulnerable the Tigers have felt at any point in the last five seasons. And now, and they started off so hot, but now we're at this point in the schedule where it's starting to reveal itself, that vulnerability. And the whole Central, I mean, you could pick any of these teams to win this division still at this point, I think. Even the White Sox and Indians are capable of getting to that level. And the Twins, of course, you know, who knows if they have the staying power to stay on top. But what I'm saying is that the Tigers still have a lot ahead of them, don't get me wrong, but the perceived vulnerability with injuries and age, you know, some of that stuff has really played out here at this portion of the schedule.
Yeah, I think we're at the point where, you know, it's hard to consider these guys the favorites in the division. The way the Royals are playing, you know, they look like a team that everybody else is chasing. And it's a different position for the Tigers, but realistically, it might be good for them to get that sense and stop feeling like they're the hunted right now. You know, even if it's just a matter of perception and not necessarily, you know, anything tangible. You know, maybe it's a different type of pressure. Maybe it loosens some guys up. But it's a fascinating division race, and I think it's one that can make for, you know, one of the most interesting summers in this part of baseball country that we've seen in years. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, to seeing, you know, what a race like this would be like with three or four teams involved. And it's funny to look at the standings and see the Tigers are closer to fourth place Cleveland than first place KC.
Absolutely. It should be a lot of fun, and I'm sure frustrating at times as well for fans of these clubs. But Jason Beck is all over it from the Tigers' perspective on MLB.com. Thanks for joining us, Jason, and thanks everybody for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.